before he gets started, excuse me. Don't ever lend him any money. Thank you.
He'll never get his back. Thank you, Bill. They told me I only had 4 hours to talk. So. I'm an addict. My name is Marty. Hi, folks. Can the people downstairs hear me? Can you see me? Well, it's a good thing you can't smell up here. Somebody farted. Probably wondering why we're here. This is it. Now I'm taping the convention. I would like to thank the committee for asking me to be here. It's a privilege and an honor. And just respectful to you anytime I'm asked to speak. I'm on the airplane flying down with this hotshot project manager of some big corporation heading somewhere, and I'm sitting there talking to him about being a goat fiend and stuff, and and I get off the plane and I'm not expecting anybody to pick me up because they told me that there was a shuttle that ran back and forth, and all I had to do was call the hotel and the shuttle would pick me up. Would you slow down over there? I'm having a tough time keeping up with her. Wait till she gets to resurface. It's normally done like this. I know that everyone in here is a professional speaker. I know that when you sit in the audience and there's a speaker, you mumble and grumble, and I like what he had to say, I didn't like what he had to say, and I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. I got a job to do and you got a job to do. Mine's to talk, yours is to listen. If you get through before me, you can go to sleep, you can leave. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I'll be here till I'm done. Do we have any drug addicts here tonight? Alcoholic addicts? Cross-addicted? Chemically addicted, dual addicted, poly addicted, chemically dependent. Chemical denial. I'd like to share something with you out of the basic text in Narcotics Anonymous, but they didn't have one. That's a different book. Well, I'd like to share something with you for all the drug addicts that are here, as well as the alcoholic addicts, chemically dependent, and the list goes on. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive with respect to any mood-changing or mind-altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited of a term for us. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive. I used to think that I was a drug addict. I know what a drug addict is. That's the addict you drag to the meeting that doesn't want to come. I believe in Narcotics Anonymous. I went to my first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous on January the 1st of 1973. I relapsed 13 times. The last time I got high was February the 19th, 1975. I thought that I was a drug addict. I thought that I was an alcoholic addict. I would be anything you wanted me to be. And I wanted to be different. When I first got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was a funky, chunky, drunk, junkie, slimy, dope fiend, whatever you wanted to call me. As long as I was different, hip, slick, and cool. I simply know today that I'm simply an addict. I don't go to any other fellowships other than the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't believe in any other fellowships. Narcotics Anonymous is the only fellowship I know that doesn't deal with a chemical. Narcotics Anonymous deals with the disease of addiction. We're not interested in what or how much you use. And I hear people come into the room. Well, I'm a heroin addict. Hey! And now, well, I'm a crack addict. God damn it. Well, I never smoked any crack. When I was using crack, it was a sexual term. I don't know what it feels like to smoke crack. I don't know what it feels like to drink table wine. You might not know what it's like to huff paint. You change colors. It doesn't matter what you used in Narcotics Anonymous. When I got clean, there weren't many meetings. And so we had to go other places. And you had to identify yourself as one certain thing, that you were powerless over one certain chemical. And if you weren't, and you identified yourself as anything else, you were not welcome. In Narcotics Anonymous, a lot of times, if you identify yourself as other things, you may made to be felt that you're not welcome. But you are welcome. You're just still in denial. Drugs were never my problem. Drugs were the solution to all my problems. The only problem is they quit working. If they hadn't quit working, I can tell you one thing, you'd have a different speaker tonight. Because I like getting high. I just didn't like coming to in a place like Juarez Jail with blonde hair. If you could get high and stay high 24 hours a day, I would be sitting in my rocking chair, smoking, snorting, sticking, or shoving something up my ass, and enjoying it.
It doesn't matter what you did to get here. When I first walked in, I thought this was real nice for you. But I didn't deserve and have a right to be here because of the things that I've done. If you knew the things that I've done in my life, you wouldn't let me come here. So I could never share those with you. I'll tell you a few funny stories and then you'll like me. But I'm not going to tell you the real deal. Getting clean was real hard. And it was terrifying. Because I'd never been happy in my life. I knew how to be miserable. But I didn't know how to be happy. And I didn't get clean to be miserable. I got clean to be happy. And I didn't get clean to be some type of spiritual giant either. You see them float through your home group, you know? Hi, I'm Mr. Wonderful, and I've got it all together. And let me tell you what you need to do. You need to mind your own business, asshole. Are you my sponsor? No. Shut up. What got me here? I was walking down the street one day. I was smoking a joint. The seed popped. It scared the shit out of me. I rushed right down to Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been here ever since. What got me here? My father beat my mother. My father beat me. My father used the drug alcohol. Only occasionally. And when he did, he turned into a monster. All of my uncles were addicts. All of my aunts were addicts. 10 years ago, we buried my father. 11 years before that, I 12-stepped him. My father died in recovery. I have more respect for the man today than I ever had for him living. I still talk to him every day. I understand today the things he did that I didn't understand when I was young. You people taught me how to understand him. You people taught me how to forgive him. And you taught me how to love him. And you taught me that I was worthy of the love that he had for me, that I never felt that I had. When I was 18 years old, I landed in Vietnam. Because I was a warrior with blonde hair. And all I had when I got there was my little white ass and two shaky hands to scratch it. And I was scared to death. The first night I got to Nam, I got high. The first night I got to Nam, it was the first time I'd ever seen a human being's body blow apart. It was the first time I'd ever seen a black person bleed. And his blood was red. And he died in my arms. I haven't had any racism since. When Narcotics Anonymous is an equal opportunity employer. In Narcotics Anonymous, you're not different because you're white, and you're not different because you're black. We didn't sell white dope to white people, black dope to black people. In Narcotics Anonymous, you're not different because of where you grew up. Had this guy back home that kept relapsing all the time, and I used to do a sponsorship meeting with my guys, and one night he had relapsed again, and he called me, and I said, well, you need a sponsor. He said, I know. I said, get your ass over here. You got one tonight. Tomorrow you can figure out what you want to do then. But tonight we got one, and it's me. Accept it or reject it. I don't give a shit if you don't like it. Get over here. And he came over. And he got there and said, well, if I knew he was going to be here, I wouldn't have come. Talking about another guy that was there. He said, you guys don't understand. You don't understand where I grew up. I grew up on the other side of the tracks. I grew up in South Baltimore. I said, what's your brother's name? He said, Tommy. I said, how long has he been clean? He said, 8 years. I said, where the fuck did he grow up? It don't matter where you come from. You don't come in here whining and snotting and puking about where I come from. I had it tougher than everybody. Skid Row's located in your gut. Somebody asked me, how the hell do you get somebody off of Skid Row? It's 60 feet across Skid Row and you're out. Wall Street, right there. What's the problem? The problem? It's 1,000 miles in your mind. You don't deserve it. You can't make it. You don't fit in. And today, standing here with almost 22 years clean, the wind still blows and my gut opens up and it says, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to hold out. You don't fit in anymore. You got too much time and you ain't got your shit together. People in your home group don't love you. Don't tell anybody I said that. Mr. Bill said, don't lend me any money. You can lend me some money. He doesn't run my life. He helps me guide it. There's no dictatorship in Narcotics Anonymous. Because all the dictatee has to do is say, screw off, and the dictatorship's over with. In 1969, I came home from Nam, a very sick, hurt, saddened, lonely, frightened. I was probably more scared coming home from Nam than when I went. I was scared of you. I was scared of how I was going to be accepted. I was afraid I wasn't going to fit in. And I didn't want to fit in. And yet I wanted to fit in. When I got clean, there was a guy in Nam with me named Ole. And Ole and I got high every day. And every day Ole and I tried to quit. And every day Ole and I got high again. And we did a lot of things to a lot of people. We did things to people's property, to their homes, their animals, their children, to humanity in general. Things today that I still have a tough time dealing with and forgiving me for. And in 1986 or something like that, one of my first sponsors called me and said he was coming to Baltimore And he wanted me to pick him up at the airport. And I said, great. He said, what are you doing in town? He said, we're going to the wall. I said, what wall? He said, the Vietnam Memorial Wall. I said, no, you're going to the wall, but I'm not going to no damn wall. He said, no, we're going. It's a WE program. And I picked him up at the airport. And Bob spent the night at our house. And slept on our couch downstairs in the living room. Bob's this tall, Chinese-looking black guy. Or short, Chinese-looking black guy. I guess he was tall because I looked up to him. And my son Jimmy, who was like 7 or 8 years old at the time, comes down the stairs and he looks and he sees Bob and he says, good morning. And Bob said, good morning, who are you? He said, I'm Jimmy, who are you? He said, I'm Bob. And Jimmy says, nice to meet you. He said, well, you're a fine-looking young man. He said, thank you. Going to detox this morning? And Bob said, why would I be going to detox? He said, well, usually people that sleep on my mom and dad's couch go to detox the next day. My dad gets paid a lot of money for that. And I did. I could get $5,000 a hit at one time, because I cared. When I first started working in treatment, a little over 18 years ago, I wasn't even making minimum wage. My first 3 months clean, I was living in a horse stall in Orlando, Florida, taking care of 13 harness horses, working 18 hours a day, making $50 a week. And hitting 9 meetings a week. From Narcotics Anonymous. Bob and I went to the wall. And I had looked for Ole ever since I got clean. And could never find him. And it never dawned on me. When we got there, this guy comes up with this big green book. What they call large literature at the wall. With all the names in it of the dead and the missing in action. And he said, can I help you find somebody? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for a friend. And I gave him Ole's name and he went through his book. And he said, is this your friend? And I said, yeah. And he walked me over to where his name was on the wall and he took a piece of paper and he scratched his name off and handed it to me. And Bob took me over to a friend of his that he lost. And I helped him scratch his name off. And Bob and I sat there for about 2 hours and just held each other and cried. We were getting up to leave and there was some guys standing there with a tent for the POW and missing in action. And they had a little cup you could throw some change in. I threw some change in. He said, put down your unit you were with. And I wrote down the 173rd. And he came around from behind the table and gave me a hug and he said, welcome home. My family hadn't even said that to me yet. At the World Convention in Baltimore, Mr. Bill and I took a bunch of non-vets to D.C. to the wall with a video camera. And we took them all to that green book. And we helped them find their name on the wall and we videoed them and each guy helped the other one scratch the guy's name off the wall and then had them turn around to the camera and tell us something about their friend. Without Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't be able to feel what I feel. And though a lot of you weren't in on the street, you were in your own. And I want to tell you, welcome home. The war is over. There aren't any tough guys in Narcotics Anonymous. There's a lot of bad attitudes. But there aren't any tough guys. Ain't no gorillas. Bunch of cream puffs. Hard on the outside. Just like this little skinny guy here. My wife and I and his wife and I went to the wall. And found his buddy Charlie. And you don't know what it means unless you sponsored somebody. You don't know what that feels like unless you sponsored somebody who you've seen come into these rooms and the desperation that we get here. And they work their ass off on the steps. And they go through their fourth and fifth step and they don't feel like they deserve for anybody to even listen to it. And they sit there and they cry and you hold them and you hug them and you rock them and you tell them that you love them. And that they got a right to be here. That they ain't jump crash in an accident. And that there ain't no mistakes today. Bam Bam came in last night. Stand up, Bam Bam. He said, have you got anybody to introduce you yet? I want to introduce you. And I said, no, Bill's already paid me. But sometimes in recovery, we do things in the insanity of our recovery because it's not just the insanity of our addiction. And Bam and I lived in Florida together. I can say that three times. I'm an addict and an addict and an addict. One day I was driving down the road through North Miami and I seen Bam Bam in front of me. So I got right up on his ass. And every time he made a turn, I made a turn. Every time he made a turn, I made a turn. And he keeps looking in his mirror. And he'd speed up, not speed up. I'm right on his ass. I mean, he made a fast turn here and a fast turn here, and I followed him. And then he pulled up in front of this house and slammed on the brakes. And I pulled right up beside his car, and he reached down like this, and he come up out of his car like that with a goddamn rocket. Biggest gun I ever seen in my life. Put it over the hood of the car. What the hell do you want? I just want to know what step you're on, Bubba. But he finally got the bookie or whoever it was after him off his back. I don't know who it was. I met a lady in Narcotics Anonymous. I was chair of the Chesapeake Potomac region. I was somebody very important. Had it all together. Everyone respected me. And if you didn't, I didn't allow you to speak to me. Because you normally didn't. And I was at a regional meeting, and this little lady was sitting at the end of the table, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I winked at her, and she winked back. I knew I was getting lucky. And at the time, her name was Ruth. And after the meeting, the regional meeting, there was a speaker meeting and a dinner and a dance, and she asked me to dance. And we danced all night. And she had two lovely children. Two of the worst, rottenest, spoiled, arrogant, filthy mouth, 6 and 8 year olds I'd ever met in my life. We were at a dance one night, and they danced at a church, and they completely destroyed the basement. I mean, they demolished it. I was in Virginia, actually. And those were your kids. So after a few dances, we went downstairs. Well, in between that time, we got married and had sex and did all that stuff. And after a while dancing this one night at this dance, we went downstairs to check on the kids, and the people from the church were there. And they went off on my wife. What is your problem, lady? Don't you care about your kids this after 10:30 at night? You need to talk to the Lord. My wife said, you need to go fuck yourself. Then we cleaned up the church, and we haven't had a dance there since. Those two boys had a father who was in jail and had been in jail for the last 3 million years for attempted murder. He's also the guy that respected my present wife to the point of beating her with belt buckles, stabbing her in the neck, and showing his manlyhood and respect for those vows that they took. He got out of jail a few years ago, and our oldest boy, Jay, went to live with him, and he immediately taught Jay how to break in houses, smoke crack cocaine, and rob people. And Jay got caught, and his daddy would do nothing to help him get out of jail. So I hired an attorney, and I got him out of jail. The whole time I raised Jay, he would hardly give me any respect. He would hardly ever tell me he loved me. I wasn't his father, and I wasn't telling him what the hell to do. This weekend, Jay came home from Fort Benning, Georgia, where he graduated from jump school. Right after he got out of jail, his father murdered a man in Ocean City, and the cops killed him right after that. When Jay went to sponsor, I sponsored a guy that sponsored my son Jay, and Jay went to sponsorship weekend with me. And we did the meeting, my father, my hero, and my son sat there. He said he might have lost This is hard to do when you got diarrhea. He said he may have lost his biological father, but he still had his dad. I have another son in Texas who's 22 years old, will be 22 in December 17th, that I walked out on when he was 3 weeks old and never went back. That young man and I today have a beautiful relationship. October the 20th, he made me a grandfather. My other son, Jimmy, turned 47 last Sunday. Jimmy didn't call me. By the way, Jay's clean. He's been clean a year or 800 years. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is he's got. Jimmy's also clean a couple of years. Lives on his own. Jay's engaged to get married. Jimmy's engaged to get married. Jimmy didn't call me on my birthday, and neither did Jason. Monday on Veterans Day, Jason called me. Answered the phone and said, hello. And the voice on the other side said, welcome home, Dad. Said, you know, it's Veterans Day. I said, thanks, son. I love you. I said, what else? He said, nothing. I said, nothing. He said, nothing. I said, well, what about my birthday? He said, well, that's in November. He said, fuck, this is November. Damn, I'm sorry, Dad. I said, no, you're not sorry. You're all right. My son Jimmy didn't call me and wishing me happy birthday. Monday evening, I'm watching Monday Night Football, and there's a knock on the door. What the hell is that? And I went over and opened up the door, and he said, hope I'm not too late for your old ass. I said, thank God you didn't die before I got your card here. I know you're old. My wife's been clean 14 years in Narcotics Anonymous. She's never seen another meeting list or meeting of any other meeting other than Narcotics Anonymous. She went to her first meeting, and she came back, and she's been back ever since. Right now, she's in John Hopkins School of Nursing in Baltimore, working on getting her bachelor's degree. She has since changed her name to Mary because that's more professional. I call her Sybil. A week and a half ago, she walked out in the living room, and this lady's been studying from 5 o'clock in the morning till 8 when she leaves. She comes home, goes straight to the office in the back room, and studies until I get dinner ready. Then she comes out for 15 minutes each, goes back in the office, and comes back out about 1 or 2 in the morning and goes to bed, then comes back up at 4 or 5 in the morning and starts all over again, and has been doing it for the last 2 years. A week and a half ago, she walked out in the living room bawling like a baby, and this lady don't cry. You could kick her ass, and she won't cry. I can't kick her ass. And she cried all that day. And she came out the next day, and she cried all day, and she couldn't stop crying. And she broke. And all I could do was just hold her. And I told her, fuck nursing school. You can stay home and stick a thermometer up my ass. I love it when people laugh, you identify. And it hurts. Because she's been my rock. She's been the tough guy. And all I can do is just love on her. I don't abuse the privilege of being a husband today. I don't abuse the privilege of being a father. I don't abuse the privilege of being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. You speak at a meeting or share in a meeting and say something spiritual, which I do a hell of a lot. And after the meeting, you can see him coming all the way from the other end of the room. Pretty lots of, that was a good damn good speech you made there. Damn good. Like what's said, too. I was wondering. And the nice thing about Narcotics Anonymous is you can think anything you want to. And he says, I was wondering, you think you'd give me a ride back to that there halfway house? I got to be in by 10:30, they're going to kick me out. And the nice thing about Narcotics Anonymous is you can think anything you want. You can look him dead in the eye and say, fuck you. Who the hell do you think you are asking me for a ride? You stupid goof. Spastic ass retard. Do you know who the hell I am? I'm Marty E. from Out of the Tree. Next to God, I'm the best hope you got, pal. See one of them jerk-offs in the back of the room? Wearing Mr. Bill's jewelry? Why don't you get one of them goofballs to give your ass a ride home? Because, see these cats over here? See the guy with the BMW? I'm riding with them over to Denny's after the meeting. They're going to talk about who they're going to nominate for RSR. And if I give your goofball ass a ride, I won't get the position. And the nice thing about Narcotics Anonymous is I can thank every bit of that. As long as I say, sure, pal, I'll give you a ride. Fuck them. It's about action. Narcotics Anonymous is about action. Sponsorship is about being the guider. Not a disciplinarian, not a God, a friend. Sponsorship isn't about, well, if you need to talk to me, pal, you call me. I'm your sponsor. I've already had what you got. Where you are, I've been. Where I am, you've never been. Why the hell should I call you? And being a sponsor is calling that sponsee.